Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. I appreciate your interest in Bible study and spiritual things. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about one of Jesus' accusations against the scribes and Pharisees and the religious leaders, the lawyers of his day. And it is found in Luke chapter 11 and verse 52. There's two different places in the life of Jesus where he pronounced woes on these religious leaders. One is in Luke 11 and the other is in Matthew chapter 23. We're going to start off with a comment in Luke 11 and then we're going to move to Matthew chapter 23. But I want to talk about when Jesus said to the lawyers in Luke 11:52, these are not lawyers in the sense of lawyers that we know today in a courtroom who are arguing a particular case. These are men who are learning the old law of Moses and teaching it to others. Jesus said to them in Luke 11:52, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for you took away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered." I want to talk this morning, friends, about this statement, "You took away the key of knowledge." A key opens a door where you can go from one place to another place. And what Jesus is talking about here is that these men who were supposed to be teaching the law of Moses properly, they were actually taking away the key of knowledge from the people. They were not allowing the people to learn and know and have a knowledge of the law of Moses. And when I read that statement and I think about that pronouncing of a woe upon them, I think about today. How often it is today that things are done where the key of knowledge is taken away from individuals where they cannot learn the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's coming from religious leaders. And so I want to talk about this morning taking away the key of knowledge, how that is done in Jesus' day and how it is done today. We need to know the Word of God. And we can read our Bible and we can hear the Word of God and we can know the Word of God. When we read, we can know the Word of God. Ephesians 3 verse 4. We can know the truth and the truth will make us free. John 8:32 and many other passages. We can know the Word of God. Unfortunately, individuals take away the key of knowledge even to this day by what they say and what they do. And what we have then is we have a culture today in our culture and even around the world where many people just simply do not know the Word of God and they're going to be lost as a result of that. I don't ever want to be guilty of taking away the key of knowledge for somebody. I want them to have that key to open up the Word of God and know what that is. So let's look this morning at this woe or this condemnation. You take away the key of knowledge. First of all, I want to talk about how they did that in their day, and then we can make some applications along the way for our lives today. Now, in order to do that, if you'll turn back with me to Matthew chapter 23, we will actually go down through this section. Matthew 23 and Luke 11 read very similar. Jesus is talking about the same kinds of woes and condemnations in each one. And I want to use the Matthew 23 account, which is later in Jesus' life, but I want to use that particular account. We're going to stay in the text and just see how it was that these men took away the key of knowledge and how it's done to this day. The irony of it is, and really the sadness of it is, Jesus is pronouncing this woe on the very men who should have been opening up the door of knowledge, if you will, to the law of Moses. But they were shutting people out. These men were supposed to be teachers of the law of Moses. They were supposed to explain it and teach it and read it to the people so that they could learn straight from the law of Moses, straight from the word of God. But they were taking away that key of knowledge. Let's see what they were doing in order to do that, and we'll see that it goes on to this day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23 then, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples. This is during the last week of his ministry in Jerusalem before going to the cross. He said to the scribes and the Pharisees, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat." He's talking about how that they are in a position to teach and explain the law of Moses. "All things, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger." The first thing that they were doing to take away the key of knowledge is they were teaching their traditions and not the law of Moses. There was a focus on their traditions and not the law of Moses. And we find the same thing today. There's all kinds of denominational traditions. There's all kinds of church practices and rules and regulations that are not found at all in the New Testament. And when a person is bombarded with all of these denominational traditions and church practices of men, they lose sight of what is actually in the New Testament. I encourage people just to go back and read the New Testament. You'll find that much of what goes on today is just simply a religious tradition of man and not from the law of Christ. So they were taking away the key of knowledge by emphasizing their traditions and putting that in the forefront and downplaying the law of Moses. So when it came time for people to see something, what they saw was Pharisaical traditions, not actually the law of Moses. And you find that so much today. There are so many church practices that are just simply based on literally hundreds and even thousands of years of religious church tradition of man, and it's not at all anywhere in the law of Christ. And we've got all these denominational creed books that propagate these kinds of traditions for different denominations. There's the Baptist Manual. There's the Presbyterian Book of Church Order. There's the Methodist Discipline. There's the Catholic Catechism. There's the Luther Shorter Catechism. There's the Book of Mormon. There's the Quran. There's all kinds of books printed by the Watchtower Society for the Jehovah's Witness. And we could go on and on and on. And people are so inundated and taught from these kinds of man-made books, so-called Latter-day Revelations and so forth, that people can't even see clearly the law of Christ in their New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. They took away the key of knowledge of the Word of God by focusing on their traditions. What else did they do to take away the key of knowledge? Well, let's read verse 5. "But all their works they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries, little pouches that they had on their hand that had scripture in it. And they enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the chief places at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men rabbi. But do not be called rabbi or teacher, for one is your teacher, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father on earth." I wish our Catholic friends would learn that verse. "Call no man father on earth, for one is your father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall be exalted, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." Here's a second way that they were taking away the key of knowledge. That is when they put themselves out front and they made the focus about them and not the law of Moses. And it happens today. When televangelists and others put themselves out front, people see them, they're listening to them, they're enamored by them, and they're not actually looking at the wording of the law of Christ in their New Testament. Reverend so-and-so, he's my favorite pastor, he's my favorite reverend, I got my favorite televangelist, and I like the way he dresses, and I like the way he's funny, and he presents the message in a certain way, and we're so focused on him, his emotions, his presentation, the way he looks, the way he combs his hair, and the presentation that goes on around him. You got the choir up there, and you've got the drama and the praise band and all of this stuff. And there's a focus on the entertainment factor. There's a focus on how beautiful a person's voice is or this or that. And people aren't actually reading their Bible. These people were walking around. They had nice, large, flowing garments, and people were praising them, Rabbi so-and-so, and this and that. And what happens, friends, is it draws your attention away from the actual wording that are in the verses of the New Testament, and you get focused on following a particular person. The church at Corinth had that problem. In 1 Corinthians 1, some were following Peter, some were following Paul, some were following Apollos, and they had lost sight of following Christ. So it can be done, and it's still done even to this day. So putting themselves out in the forefront and in the spotlight, they were taking away the key of knowledge. Let's keep reading. In verse 13, here's another way that they did it. Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For you enter not yourselves," and that's the same passage that we read earlier in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus adds, "You take away the key of knowledge, and you enter not in yourselves," that is, you don't enter into the kingdom, "neither suffer you them that are entering in to enter." Another way that we take away the key of knowledge, and they did it, was not actually following the law of Moses that led to Jesus Christ, and they would not enter into the kingdom of Christ. They did not want to do it, and they kept other people from doing it. Don't follow Jesus Christ. So they're actually taking away the key of knowledge by telling people to stay away from something that they don't want or they don't like. Stay away from Jesus. Stay away from his kingdom. We're not going to go in. You don't go in and do what we want. Do what we say. So you take away the key of knowledge by disobeying what God wants you to do. God wants you to enter into the kingdom. And God wanted these Jews to enter into the kingdom of heaven that Christ was preaching. He came preaching the kingdom of heaven. And they were to leave their life, which a part of it under the law of Moses was God's plan up until this time, and they needed to leave that and come to Jesus Christ. But they didn't want to enter in, and they didn't allow others to as well. So they took away the key of knowledge by disobeying God. And people do that today. There's certain things in the New Testament I'm not going to do, and I don't want other people to do it. And we keep people from knowing the truth by doing that. There's all kinds of religious people that say, well, you don't need to be baptized, or you don't need to go to church, or you don't need to give, or baptism doesn't have to be immersion in water. And we could go on and on and on. You know, don't do this. We're not doing it, and I don't want you to do it. When, in fact, the New Testament teaches that we need to do things, and we need to be obedient. So that's another way. What else? Look with me at Matthew 23, verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves." Here's another way they were taking away the key of knowledge. They would not let people come to the law of Moses. They weren't converting people to the law of Moses, and let's follow the law of Moses. They were making proselytes to their own sect. you need to follow the Pharisees, you need to follow the Sadducees, you need to follow the Herodians or whoever, the Essenes or the Zealots. You need to proselytize and convert to us. And friends, that's wrong. We need to come to the law of Christ. We need to come to the gospel of Christ. We need to come to Christ. We need to convert to Christ, not to Chris Reeves. I don't have a church. I don't want you to convert to me. I don't have a church that you convert to. I'm not trying to proselytize you. I want you to come to Jesus Christ and be a part of his body, his church. But people today will gain followers to themselves, and they will proselytize and try to convert people to their group and their themselves. And this has happened especially, it happens in the denominations, but it happens especially like in the cults. There'll be some cult leader and he'll gain some following and he tries to get people to follow him. And sometimes it ends in their own death. We saw that years ago with Jonestown and with Waco, Texas, and other places. These would-be messiahs, come convert to me and be a part of my group. And people are taken in by that and suckered into that and deceived into that. It's a shame. So these people, these Jews, were converting people to their group instead of giving the key of knowledge to where they can serve God and through the law of Moses be led to Jesus Christ. No, you've got to become a member of our group. What else did they do? We'll look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16. Woe unto you blind guides that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has sanctified the gold? And whatsoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gift that is upon the altar, he is a debtor. You blind, for what is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? He therefore that swears by the altar swears by it and by all things thereon. And he that swears by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells therein. And he that swears by the heaven swears by the throne of God and by him that sits thereon. One way that you take away the key of knowledge is when you make up your own rules for your behavior and you're hypocritical in your behavior. You have man-made laws and rules that don't match up with the Word of God. People begin to focus on your man-made rules, your hypocrisy. What if you say one thing is true, but then another thing is not true, the focus becomes on you. You're dictating what is right and wrong, and you're moving people away from the Word of God. And so they were doing that. They had all these rules that if you swear by this, you got to keep your word, but if you swear by that, you don't really need to keep your word. And they had all of these man-made rules that were inconsistent, didn't make sense, and were just completely made up. And you take people away from the Word of God when you do that. And that goes on today. And it's similar to what I mentioned earlier with regard to church practices and church doctrines. Friends, look at Clarksville, look at Montgomery County, or wherever you're at hearing this program. Look at all the different denominations around. They've all got different rules. They've all got different practices. Some of them are contradictory to each other. Different names that they call themselves. Different books that they follow other than the gospel. And it just keeps people from coming to the truth. People get bewildered by that. They get cynical by that. They get discouraged by that. They get confused by that. Many of them just quit because there's all these contradictory things going on. When in fact, we could actually all come to the New Testament, be a simple New Testament Christian, follow the New Testament without man-made rules. People just making up things. And these Jews just made up stuff. If you swear by this, you got to keep your word, but if you swear by that, you don't have to keep your word. Just making up stuff. People do that today, friends. It's not in the New Testament gospel. It's just made up. It's just made up. And we've got to set all of that aside and open up our New Testament and actually turn the key, if you will, to the knowledge of the gospel. It's quite refreshing. It really is quite refreshing. You can set aside all that denominational confusion and made-up rules and actually just be a New Testament Christian. Let's keep reading. What's another way in which they took away the key of knowledge? Verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these ought you to have done, and not to have left the other undone. You blind guides that strain out the gnat and swallow the camel." They had this attitude that we're going to do certain things in the law of Moses that involves tithing, but we're not going to do things that involve justice, mercy, and faith. What a shame. They had left those undone. Jesus calls them weightier matters, matters that have great importance and consequence as we deal with others. These things that involve justice and mercy and faith, our love toward others, our attitude toward others, our service toward others, very important, very weighty, very consequential. Nope, you're not doing that. And so what happens is you pick and choose. You pick and choose in the Word of God what you're going to follow. And you take away the key of knowledge by that, because people begin to listen to you and say, well, I'll do what Chris says. He's picking X, Y, and Z. And so I guess I need to do that. But the folks don't know that you also need to be doing A, B, and C. We are to do all that God wants us to do in the New Testament. That which is for all Christians of all time, we are to be doing that. And we don't just simply go through the New Testament picking and choosing what we want to follow or don't want to follow. There are things, many things in the New Testament for all Christians for all time. And we need to be doing that. And we don't need to rob people of the knowledge of the truth by specializing in certain things and then leaving other things undone. We're actually keeping people from coming to the truth. What's another way that they were taking away the key of knowledge? We'll keep reading in Matthew 23, verse 25. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may become clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres," or tombs, "which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." What else did they do? Well, we finally come to one of the key things that Jesus is talking about, and that is hypocrisy. He's been using the word throughout this section, "you hypocrites." When a person is hypocritical, they actually take away the key of knowledge from people. They're acting on the outside to be righteous and good, but inwardly they are sinning, and their hypocrisy keeps people from coming to a knowledge of the truth. People see that and they say, "I don't want to have anything to do with that. He claims to be a Christian, but he's hypocritical. I'm not going to open my Bible. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to listen to what he is saying." And they actually do not come to a knowledge of the truth because they see so-called religious people acting hypocritically. "I'm not going down there to that church building with all those hypocrites in it." And so our hypocrisy can actually keep people from wanting to come and know the Word of God. We need to be on the inside what we are on the outside, and vice versa. We don't need to be hypocritical. And this has happened so many times with televangelists and others. They're out there on TV telling people to come to Christ, and they're crying and they're pleading and begging, and then you find out that on the side they're committing adultery with somebody or whatever. They're scamming people, they're stealing the money, or they're committing adultery, or they're engaged in some sort of fraud, or they're spending exorbitant amounts of money on a private jet and limos and several homes somewhere, and it just turns people off, and they say, I'm not going to have anything to do with so-called Christianity. You have taken the way of key, the key of knowledge from people. And then, last of all, look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets and garnish the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you witness to yourselves that you are sons of them that slew the prophets. Fill you up the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. The last thing that they did to keep the key of knowledge and keep it away from others, take away the key of knowledge, was by killing the God-sent apostles and prophets that Jesus would send out when he ascended back into heaven. He sent his apostles into all the world. And later, when the apostles put their hands on various individuals to have miraculous gifts, there were prophets in the church, and many of the Jews killed them. And by killing them, they robbed the people of the key of knowledge. These men, these apostles and prophets upon which the church was built, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2, 20 through 22, these men were preaching the knowledge of the truth, and they were being killed. James was killed, one of the apostles, Acts chapter 12, 1. Stephen was killed in Acts chapter 7 and 8. Killed. We don't want the truth. We don't want people hearing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so by killing these men, they were taking away the key of knowledge. Friends, don't let anybody today, through doctrines or traditions or errors or hypocrisy, take away the key of knowledge. You come to the truth. And if I can help you to do that, let's sit down together and let's study the Word of God. Don't let anybody keep the key of knowledge from you. You open that door of truth, you walk through it, you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you live faithfully each day, and you're ready to go to heaven. If I can help you to do that, let's get together. I don't ever want to rob you of the key of knowledge. Let's get together and learn the truth of God's Word. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.